Opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're on KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a question for us in today's show, please give me a call at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And Fairbanks, great guest in the show with me today. It's Energy Week, Construction Week here in Fairbanks. Lots of items going on. And I've got Mike Music. He says he's retired. Say good morning, Mike.
Good morning, everybody. And indeed, I am
retired. You are not retired. You're involved in everything. My God. But he brought up Phil Palooza, who also claims to be retired, who's up here for a week during Energy Week. And you're going to talk to us today about construction, heat pumps, a little bit of everything is with my two guests today. Phil, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's fun to be up here and get out of Seward for a week, so it's good. I'm glad you got good weather.
Mike, how'd you talk him into coming up here? You promised him good weather?
Well, you know, I've known Phil for 40 years. I first met him, he was in Nome. He was known as Energy Phil. And when we were standing up the Alaska Craftsman Home Program, back in the mid to late 80s, I went up and taught a workshop with him. And the plan back in the day was to have two trainers go to a community to train, and one local expert, and then one with a briefcase from out of town to help validate the local. And
so you were the person with the briefcase.
I was at that point. And then we would bring him or someone from out of town to work with us here too, although we had two Fairbanks trainers at the time. By the way, it's housing week.
Yeah, it's pretty good for me.
Yeah. So Cold Climate Housing Research Center, which was my last paid gig, and I'm volunteering now to help with Housing Week. And there's a lot going on. Tomorrow there's a major symposium that folks may be interested in.
You know, here's the thing about it, Fairbanks. What we have in here is a background education and knowledge of 50 years plus of construction in the state of Alaska and how it has advanced its history. Mike, I've really been looking forward to this because, you know, I just don't get people like you in here with your knowledge, your background, and what you've seen front, line, and center. Phil, we're going to find that out about you. So excuse me if I'm a kid in a candy store, but please go on, sir.
Well, I've been in construction since 1961. My first job was surveying down in Cantwell for what became the Parks Highway. And over the course of 3 years, summertime, I went to the university in the fall and spring. We surveyed from Hurricane Gulch to what became Glitter Gulch. And there was no road south of Cantwell. It went to Summit, which was just a couple miles, and it was, a weather station at that point. And there was a road, a gravel road that went to Denali, and access was via the, you had to turn off the Richardson Highway at Paxson and take the Denali Highway. We would see maybe two or three cars a day going to the national park. and we saw a lot more.
it's you know, two or three buses per minute.
And we see a lot more moose, bear, and caribou than we ever saw people. But that was the good old days. And I surveyed for about 15 years and got burned out surveying on the pipeline. And yeah. I started putting nails in boards rather than in the ground. And,
so basically you had an engineering construction background from the beginning.
That's
from
right.
the very beginning.
That's right. I had 5 semesters of civil engineering, which really helps in the construction business, too.
Yes,
I went on and got other degrees, but they weren't related necessarily.
Phil, what was your background before you went to Nome?
Well, graduated from Bemidji State and ended up with a degree in environmental studies. I was an undecided freshman, I think, till my senior year, so I wasn't really sure what I was going to do in life. But I managed to find something to get a degree in. And yeah, then I got an opportunity to go to Nome, and why not? Go spend the summer and see Alaska. And
You know, it's interesting, in college where I went, you know, you had to declare your major when you're basically 17 years old, your junior year when you're applying to get in as a senior, and you think you know what you're doing or you want to do in life when you're 17 or 18 years old, so good for you. Good for you.
Like getting undecided freshman letters, you know, your senior year was a little rough. But
oh, man. So you came up here at Mike's beck and call. And what are you doing up here? What's your portion of this week?
Well, I've been dabbling, kind of in doing a lot of monitoring and testing. I got really excited about heat pumps. Just that whole concept of how do you move heat from cold air into the house? And, you know, and as I started looking at, you know, I enjoyed the physics of it and going, there's an application. This technology has moved to the point where we can actually be doing this in cold climates. And so I started pursuing that down in Seward and put one in, twisted a few arms and got friends to put some in, and you know, we probably have over 100 heat pumps in Seward now, and the Sea Life Center is heated by heat pumps and new construction.
Tell us about the cost savings of energy when you do something like that. Of course, you have the expense in the beginning.
Right.
Then what happens?
Well, then it depends. You know, clearly.
You're right.
Right, right. Well, you know, so the environment and, you know, your temperatures and stuff, all the weather conditions all play into the economics. But really, a heat pump is just a really energy efficient electric space heater. So the question is how much less expensive is it than oil? And now you get to pick what the price of oil is today and what the price of oil might be in the next 20 years that your heat pump's going to be around. So there's some depends in there, but it's really just a question of can we run this heat pump and deliver the same amount of heat that you would get from oil at the similar or less cost. And then the whole environmental side of things, you know, in the perfect world to me, a windmill would be heating your house.
Yeah,
with a heat pump, that would be the ideal situation.
Okay, and tomorrow are you you're having a housing action symposium tomorrow from 9 to 4:30 at the Wedgewood Resort, and what are you participating in that along with some other very exceptional people?
Not tomorrow.
Okay,
I've done a couple, and then I think the next one is the home show.
We've kept him pretty busy all week, so for the last 3 days, or 2 days.
Let me guess. Phil, come up. We're going to have you this for 1 hour on the air. Maybe something else. As soon as you get the end of the day, we've got a shovel for you to drive, you know, to walk with a shovel and stuff like that.
Oh, might as well just come up for the whole week.
That's only this week.
And
you know, the home show, which you're also including,
right.
That doesn't close till Friday, Sunday at 5, so. So we've got to figure out something for you Monday.
No, I think Saturday, I'm going to do a heat pump session for the builders.
Okay.
Saturday late afternoon, and then work my way back.
I think it's starting 4 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah. He'll be teaching heat pumps. He made 2 presentations so far on heat pumps at different venues.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to take a break, and when I come back, Again, the having the 2 years educational background, we're going to start coming through the 60s and 70s and 80s of construction and tendencies and upgrades and this history, if that's okay with you gentlemen. Okay, Fairbanks, again, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Here in Alaska, we are a bit off the beaten path, so there are a few things that are super important. Food, shelter, and how you heat your shelter. The revolutionary Toyotomi Laser Direct Vent Heaters are easy to use, they are reliable, so you don't have to worry about it. Total Toyo can help you find the perfect heating solutions for your home. With multiple options to choose from, you can heat an entire home, hard-to-heat areas, and are certified for insulation in mobile homes and manufactured housing. When you need to heat your home, call Total Toyo, 488-9179. Back in 1912, Samson Hardware advertised that they had the right goods, the right prices, and the right treatment. Many things have changed since then, but one thing still holds true. Samson Hardware still has the right goods, the right prices, and the right treatment. They have what you're looking for. From the tools you need to get projects done, to hard-to-find nuts, bolts, and washers, to plumbing and heating supplies, and more, Samson Hardware has it. Before you start a project, see your locally owned hardware store. Celebrating 120 years, Samson Hardware.
We're talking men's health with Dr. Tony Nima from Fairbanks Urology. Is the PSA test reliable for prostate cancer?
You got to think of the PSA blood test as testing for something that should be in your prostate but shouldn't be in your blood. If the PSA is up in the bloodstream, that means it's leaking out of the prostate, either because of something going on in the prostate or because of prostate cancer.
Find out more about men's health at Fairbanks Urology with Dr. Tony Nima online at fairbanksurology.com.
Ready to fix a great career for yourself? How'd you like to work in a fun and positive environment? Expressway Auto in North Pole is now expanding and is currently accepting positions for automotive and diesel technicians. Applicants should have at least 1 year of experience as well as the skills, knowledge, and attitude to excel. Additional certifications are a plus and can increase your earning power. Applications can be dropped off at Expressway Auto on the Richardson Highway in North Pole, or to schedule an interview, call 888-659-0631. Expressway Auto is an equal opportunity employer.
KFAR weather.
A mix of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 34. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 16. High of 40 tomorrow. A blend of clouds and sun and dry Friday and Saturday with highs in the low 40s. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mike Music and Phil Palooza in the studio with me. And they're with the Housing Action Symposium. It's basically all week long, and it concludes with the home show, the Interior Alaska Builders Association home show that starts Friday at like 2 and then Sunday at 5 p.m. as I recall. I go to it every year. I've had booths in it. It's great. And we're going to get into more of that later, but I'm going to take advantage of historical construction standards and expertise. Now, Mike, when you started building homes, when you started building things, what year was that?
Well, my son was born in 1976, and that year I quit the pipeline. I built a cabin down in the Alaska Range and came home to help him get born, and then went back and put the so I can date to what? Right about 1970, early 76, I saw a log house being constructed that I passed every day. It was being constructed right where the Esther Fire Station is now.
Okay.
And Sandy Jamison and his crew were building it. Of course, I left in the dark, and I came home in the dark, but I could see there was another log or two being placed.
Yeah.
And so I quit the pipeline surveying and went to work for Sandy at much less money. But I learned a pretty good trade. And off and on, I had helped other people do frame construction, super insulated homes and so forth. In fact, we built the first five-star plus ACHP rated home in Fairbanks.
What year was that?
And that would have been late 80s.
Okay. When they started coming out with the ratings.
Pardon me?
When they first started coming out with the different ratings.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a measure of energy efficiency.
When was the first time you came across a vapor barrier?
Oh, early on.
Okay.
It was...
It wasn't that prevalent in construction.
Well, see, I used to tune in to Axel Carlson.
Okay.
At the Cooperative Extension Service, and I checked with him every year, and I'd say, you know, what's the latest on mostly Scandinavian construction, because that's what he brought to us. Later, we started looking at what the Canadians were doing, and they helped us, based on their R2000 program, they helped us stand up the Elastic Craftsman Home program. And that's when we began to really understand that once you put a plastic bag around your head, basically, you can't breathe, and neither can your house. So we came up with some really good strategies for ventilation.
Yeah, I'm Italian. When you say that to me, we're doing something illegal. Just a thought.
So we perfected, with help from our Canadian neighbors, ventilation strategies, and then later in 2004, when we were building the Cold Climate Housing Research Center, we were surrounded by wildfire, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss, Jack A. Bear, wanted
great
that
guy.
Building.
Great guy.
He wanted that building to be a refugium during wildfire, and so he tasked me with coming up with filtration strategies.
Mm-hmm.
So we hired Bill Reynolds, who had done some air quality issues for submarines,
mm-hmm.
and he understood filtration, and he bench tested different configurations of filter arrangements up on the West Ridge at the university, and he came up with the strategy that we used at Cold Climate, and which is what we're doing today, as we have basically three filters in a row, a rock catcher, in other words, low MERV rating, then a good high MERV rating on the center filter, mm-hmm. 2 inches thick, and then lots of carbon in the third filter that took out the VOCs, the volatile organic compounds. And my son's doing that today, and with good success. We can clean up the air during wildfires because of that experience.
Phil, what got you into the construction side of things, and when?
Well, you know, when I moved to Nome and decided, well, I guess I'm going to spend a little more in the summer here, and I wanted to build a house. And so it's interesting, Mike mentioned Axel Carlson, because that was my source for, okay, Axel, I want to build a house. And, you know, he was the one who started talking this super insulation and double wall construction, and I'm going, well, okay, we can do that. And
when you were looking at that, was that with a 2x10, 2x8, 2x12, or was it staggering your 2x6?
It was staggering 2x4s.
Okay, 2x4s at the time.
It was a 6-inch space in between them, so
yeah.
It had that 12-inch thick wall of insulation and vapor barrier, and of course, you know, the ventilation had already come into being that you had to do that, so I got to incorporate all that up in Nome, and then I just got to spend a bunch of years working with the regional housing authorities, getting them to upgrade their housing construction. And
You know, it's interesting. I call it prepaying. When you do something of you're getting a higher energy rating standard, it's paying for itself immediately after occupancy starts. You don't think of like 1 or 2 years. You think of 5 to 20 years down the line. What you're saving in energy, your use, how it dramatically is reduced. You were mentioning prior to us going on the show, insulation of foundations.
Ground is pretty darn cold up here.
Yeah,
and it just keeps it'll suck heat forever out of your house.
It's not a hard cost, but it's a wonderful return on your investment.
Right. And something you really need to do when you build the house.
Yeah.
Because as Mike can tell you, it's a lot more expensive to do it after.
Ready for a phone call?
Anytime.
Okay. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hello, Mike. This is Guy.
You guys sat on an assembly for a while, I think, together.
Music and I put up with each other for a few years on the assembly.
Guy.
I don't want to get in the way of any good insulation conversation. But I'll give you a minute or so to provide a good laugh for us. Do you remember, if you go back to Sandy Jameson and the rest of it, you probably remember a fellow named Bob Rogash. Is that right?
He's laughing.
Absolutely. And in fact, you've just been reading my mind, that Bob Rogash came up with what I believe is a really good R value for a home.
You remember his theory of the chickens? I think he had them in his house. You may have actually seen it. That it took a certain number of chickens to provide enough BTUs to get through the winter, and I'm thinking it was 8 or 10 or 16 chickens or something, but apparently they put off enough heat to as long as you could capture it, and I don't know what he did about the smell, but I guess he put up with anything, but he had a theory that you could heat with just a few chickens around. Do you remember that at all?
Oh, absolutely. And I know the house pretty well, too. Bob had double walls that were wide enough for small people to walk on the recycled ground-up foam that he got from the pipe yard. And he ran it through a garden mulcher. And he packed his walls full. His theory, and he did a lot of computer analysis back in the day, and he came up with the concept that a good home in the Arctic would have R60 on all six sides, four walls, the roof, and the floor. And we've proved that out over the years. If you're going passive house, you might go a little higher. But one thing we really learned from Bob's house is about ventilation. Clean air and moisture control is so important, and ventilation, of course, takes care of that as well as cleaning up the air.
I don't want to get in the way of any good insulation conversation, so I'll get out of here. But I wanted to get you to remember the chicken aspect.
Yeah, and in fact, there's a professor at the university, Tom Marsick, who built a house in Dillingham that he could heat with a hairdryer. So we know how to do that. It's just that, do you want windows? And
yeah. Guy, thank you for the phone call. Yeah. Great hearing from you, buddy. Good. You have a great day.
Good to talk to you, Guy.
Bye. Okay, Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. I'm going to leave you some bumper music. This had to be put in by Glenn. It's Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love. Oh, my God. But, hey, if I got to listen to it, you got to listen to it. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and then we'll be back.
On KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Israel is planning for a military operation in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, trying to eliminate Hamas targets there. Some world leaders are worried about this plan, though, including President Biden. Concerns grow over the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. State Department spokesperson Vandant Patel.
We're not aiming to be prescriptive here, Saeed. We're going to continue to have these conversations with our Israeli partners on what we believe can hopefully be a path forward that will help defeat Hamas, but also be mindful of these varying humanitarian factors.
The Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is going to Tel Aviv Friday to talk about alternatives to a ground operation, as well as how to get more aid into Gaza. A federal appeals court has again prevented Texas from arresting and deporting migrants who are accused of entering the U.S. illegally. A panel from the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled hours after that law briefly took effect on Tuesday. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Anchorage will move ahead with a licensing program for short-term and vacation rentals, including houses, apartments, and bedrooms rented via online booking platforms Airbnb and Vrbo. The Anchorage Daily News reports in a 7-5 vote yesterday, the Assembly approved an ordinance that sets out the program in city code. Its passage comes as a municipality grapples with a housing shortage, sharply rising rents and home prices, and a dearth of affordable and low-income housing. Many residents and city leaders have raised concerns about short-term rentals contributing to the housing shortage, especially in the Girdwood area. But it's not clear exactly what the scope of the problem is. Some Anchorage residents who own short-term rentals testified against the measure, saying they rely on the income, especially as they face the rising cost of living. The program will be overseen by the municipal clerk, but it's not clear yet when the license requirement would go into effect. And yesterday's measure won't impose limits on the number of short-term rentals a person can operate, but it places other restrictions and requirements on the owners. That includes a fee. A two-year license will cost $400 per rental unit and would
streaming
be
live online at KFAR660.com.
Left, 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 right, left. Hey, Fairbanks, Les Nichols here with Fairbanks Nissan. It's March. I crack myself up. You need to march into Fairbanks Nissan for our pre-spring deals. This month, our world-famous tire sale is back. Buy three tires and get one for a dollar. You already know this is our best deal on new tires, so don't wait. We need to restock. We're buying cars, so come talk to Sergeant Shorty. He's our used car manager, and sell or trade your old ride today. He's not really a sergeant, but if you want to sell your old ride, he's the guy to talk to. Don't forget, brakes are just $299 all the time at Fairbanks Nissan, and we work on all makes and models, not just Nissans. So let's hear it again. Our best sale on tires is going on right now. Brakes are just $299 all the time at Fairbanks Nissan. We work on all makes and models, not just Nissans. And we're in car buying mode. So come sell or trade your car to us today. Don't get left, right, left behind. Schedule your next service or check out our new rides at lessaysyes.com. That's lessaysyes.com. Ask about our discounts for teachers, first responders, and active duty military. And a special thanks to our local educators. We're with you.
Mountain View Eye Center is excited to welcome Dr. Jason Crosby to the team. Dr. Crosby is an experienced ophthalmologist who previously served as an eye surgeon in the U.S. Air Force. His specialties include cataract surgery, LASIK, medical eye care, and more. Dr. Crosby is now accepting new patients. Call today to schedule your appointment. Call 907-328-2920. That's 907-328-2920. Mountain View Eye Center, located just off Pegger on Phillips Field Road. Visit them online at mountainvieweyes.com.
Since 1983, Access Alaska has been a private, nonprofit, consumer-controlled organization providing independent living services to people who experience a disability. As an independent living center, their mission is to encourage and promote the total integration of people who experience a disability, as well as Alaskan elders living independently in the community of their choice. That's Access Alaska, opening doors to independence. For more info, log on to accessalaska.org.
This message is brought to you by the radio station at 529 Fifth Avenue.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Phil Palooza and Mike Music, enjoying the day and construction and things like that. Now, you're up here with a symposium basically through the week, and you're having classes, and you have a very large tomorrow schedule of events, but also you're available to talk about items that are available to get reimbursed for from government for being energy efficient, such as a heat pump in your business.
Right. Well, so that, you know, Inflation Reduction Act, which the title means nothing, I guess, in terms of what it is. But part of that program are rebates. You know, they're really trying to promote heat pumps and electrifying, you know, the nation, basically, to get off of fossil fuels as best we can. And and especially in areas where heat pumps make sense, right? If they make economic sense and they make environmental sense, and, you know, it's kind of like becomes a no-brainer in the right locations. Yeah, so for, like, heat pumps, there's up to $8,000 rebate at the time of sale. And so they're really, for the lower income.
It's not a reimbursement, it's a time of purchase.
It's actually a time of purchase, because, you know, they really were promoting this for lower income housing, and so they know, you know, a tax credit doesn't do lower income folks a whole lot of good if you don't have the tax liability. So, yeah, so it's up to $8,000 for lower income, and the middle income world, it's a 50% rebate up to $4,000 for a heat pump.
You know, I'm looking at this United States Department of Agriculture REAP program, which is a Rural Energy for American program, and it's a flyer saying, or it's an informational handout here. It says, considering a heat pump for your business, the Rural Energy of America program provides grant funding to rural small businesses for every renewable energy system or to make energy efficiency improvements. And, you know, to find out if your business is eligible. This is businesses. This is not home.
Right.
This is businesses. For a USDA REAP grant and assistant with an energy audit to help you move forward with installing a heat pump or other energy efficiency programs that cut down your energy bill. So they're paying you up front to do it right, and then you are the one who reaps, as this program
okay.
says, the monthly savings of energy costs. And how could a person look up this program here locally, Mike?
Well, we are really blessed that the director of USDA in Alaska is a young woman from Nenana. Julia Nilica?
Julia, yeah.
She's now head of the USDA, and I chatted with her a week or two ago. And they have quite a bit of money that they need to get out on the street.
Disperse.
And they're eager to help people meet those requirements. And I think their address is on that brochure you have in front of you there. But so they have a real strong interest in getting this money out. And the whole point behind this is not just to conserve energy, but it's to clean up the air. That's my mission here in Fairbanks, is if we quit burning stuff in our airshed based on more efficiency down in Healy, for example, and wind farms to the east of us in Delta and to the west of us on Shovel Creek, we may be able to shut down for a good percentage of the year any of the oil-fired power plants that are in the interior. I think we're going to be burning coal for quite a while until more renewables come online. And I look forward to the day when the question is, when do we integrate fossil fuels into the mix rather than when do we integrate renewables into the mix? And by then, we won't be worried about bad air days where we have to quit burning stuff.
And here's another informational flyer. And okay, so we looked at building owners, commercial, whatever it is, capitalist. Here's one. Help our nonprofits adapt to climate change. Solarize bright building resiliency for the interior. The Solarize Fairbanks team is fundraising for a Solarize Bright, a program that increases the ability for Alaska nonprofits to access affordable energy upgrades, prepare for the extreme weather, adapt to climate change, and reduce dependence on fossil fuel organizations. Organizations receive free energy audits and technical assistance thanks to the funding from the Department of Energy. But that's not where the story ends. How can you help? Additional funds raised to support this program will go directly to cover the cost of energy upgrades, new LED lights, insulation, windows, heating, etc., to buildings of our nonprofit participants. The retrofits will enable these valued community organizations to decrease energy and use maintenance costs, increase comfort and building resiliency, and free up time and money to focus on their respective missions. Now, you know, I've been on boards of directors of many, many, many nonprofits. And every Fairbanks usually has or does. But what I've always thought is the operational costs of a nonprofit, when you can start lowering the operational costs of a nonprofit, not all of them have a facility that they own or they can invest in. But those that do, they're fundraising just to keep the building from deteriorating versus fundraising to keep what their mission is. So something like this just really falls into place. And the participants, these Interior Alaska nonprofits, have received their energy audits and are working on towards upgrades of their buildings. And you have the Morris Thompson Visitor Center, J.P. Jones Center, Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services. I'm on the board of directors of that. You have Native Movement here. It's the print around is too small for me to read all the different organizations. But hey, I'm wearing glasses too. What the heck? The Denali Education Center, the Fairbanks Senior Center on Moore Street, and what you know that property over there, operated by Vivian Stiver. So you're taking needed resources and investing in nonprofits to lower their operating costs is what this program does. Congratulations. Great shout out there.
Yeah. My wife is on the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition Interfaith Working Group, and they've come up with grants for churches to help reduce their energy costs. And so they've been able to give out small grants, and several churches have taken advantage of that and are helping reduce their energy bills. Because I imagine that there are very few churches built with the appropriate energy standards that should prevail here in the interior.
Yeah. You know, you're so polite as you say that. You know, every facet of energy efficiency is not in a church, you know, when you start looking at it. Open, spacious, bright, towering roof ceilings, a basement that's probably not insulated, you know.
I'm on the Renewable Energy Working Group for the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition, and so a good part of my mission at this point in my life is to encourage people to quit burning so much either wood, anything that burns into our air.
You know, I've never had a wood stove in a house. I never have. And my current house, built in the 50s, you have a basement, first floor, and a two-thirds of a second floor. It's about 1,700 square feet total. And I'm on forced air, oil. And, you know, I don't have a insulated basement, but I only use, when I look at it, I only use about 650 to 700 gallons of diesel a year. And for 1,650 square feet, you know, you're looking at about a cost of 40 cents per square foot per year. You know, that's why, you know, as an appraiser, you look at your, how do you put this into utility value? And so, you know, I've got it about as efficient as I can without converting it over to, say, gas. And then I look at it and I say, okay, what's my cost efficiency payback? And it's not converting to gas right now. It's converting when my furnace dies, which could be any day, any year, you know, whatever.
Now, that makes sense, but we see the cost of oil going up.
Oh, yeah.
My wife called for me a couple of days ago, and at the time, it was $4.45 delivered per gallon.
And I haven't had it delivered in 6-7 years.
And I think natural gas is coming in about half of that right now for BTU.
And the natural gas line is right down the middle of my street. Uh-huh. You know, I live near the Brooks, right down the middle of my street. And I got this buddy I've known him since I was 7 years old. He's got a 1993 Datsun pickup with a 125-gallon fuel tank in the back. And We do 2 to 3, it's a 300-gallon fuel tank. We do two loads in the fall and two in the winter, and, you know, it basically it covers it. But I'm cost-conscious of what you just described. You know, I have an access for fuel delivery that we do, and we spend 3 minutes going from my house down to Sourdough, the bulk plant, and back. So it's not a long trip. It's quick. It's easy, efficient. And we spend our hour twice a year this catching up in life with each other.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how we do it. So it's a benefit for me, but I'm still looking at my furnace saying, when you die, and I know you're going to die, you know, better be prepared.
Right. And I think the issue is if you wait for it to completely die,
you're
the simplest
right.
solution at 20 blows is put in another oil furnace. Yeah.
My next door neighbor, he's a master plumber, basically. This is what he does for a living. And he has all the parts for me for one more fall down. Then after that, he goes, Dave, you got one more fall down. Then after that, you're getting a new one. So, okay.
I imagine you've stood up at the university or maybe up at Hagelberger and looked down in the wintertime, and I call this the Valley of 10,000 Smokes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we could eliminate 9,500 of those with appropriate weatherization and heat pumps
and
natural gas.
You know, you're absolutely right. And if you look at, you know, Fairbanks over time from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, when Ada went out and bought, you know, Fairbanks Natural Gas and then put in the infrastructure and sold it to IGU, that was probably the most important aspect of energy efficiency that Fairbanks has seen in 50 years right there. Go ahead, Mike.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the price of oil going to be when they start sinking oil tankers in the Red Sea?
I would say $8 a gallon. Yeah, and that's always, you know, and then, you know, what's in a sick way, what's our state budget going to do?
Right.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Your dog has been outside playing, jumping, walking, and running through, well, just about everything. And he's looking kind of scruffy. Make your dog a happy dog. Take him to Happy Tails Grooming Salon. At Happy Tails, they treat your dog like one of their own. Happy Tails will groom any size dog, but if you have one that needs a little extra attention, just ask them about their new services to make your dog look even better. Call Happy Tails at 457-PAWS. That's 457-7297. Or stop by 910 Old Steeves next to Fred Meyer East. Make your dog look like a Happy Tails dog. At Happy Tails Grooming Salon.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Show everyone your love for ice fishing. Enter the Frontier Outfitters Ice Fishing Photo Contest. You can win a $50 gift card every Monday. It's easy. Just upload your favorite ice fishing photo to their Facebook page. Rods to tackle, augers to the right winter clothes. Frontier Outfitters has everything you need. You love to fish. A little bit of ice won't stand in your way. Upload your photos to Facebook by April 14th. Enter Frontier Outfitters Ice Fishing Photo Contest. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 34. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 16. High temperatures reach up to 40. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mike Music and Phil Palooza in the studio with me. Now, Phil, Mike gives you a call. You're in Seward on a nice sailboat, enjoying yourself. And he says, come to Fairbanks. Talk about heat pumps just for an hour. And that's tomorrow. Or at the home show, too.
Right.
Okay. Explain to Fairbanks and the listeners here what the concept of a heat pump is and what it does and how you install it.
Well, you know, we all have one. We've all had one for, you know, almost 100 years, and it's called a refrigerator.
And I use mine for a refrigerator also as a way to suck moisture out of meats, too.
Right, so, right, because dehumidify high humidity areas. But yeah, so a heat pump is what it's called. It's a heat pump. It's not actually burning a fuel to produce heat. It's actually has, through this magic of this refrigeration cycle, can actually pull heat from a colder area into a warmer area. So, you know, you think about a heat pump in an old refrigerator, you had coils on the inside of the freezer, and you had coils in the back of the refrigerator that got warm. Well, that heat that you're feeling was actually heat that they pulled out from the freezer compartment as heat kind of got absorbed through the container. So heat pumps have been around for 100 years, and there's various types and sizes and kinds. And
let's look at my house. Use my house as an example. Okay. I have a basement that's, you know, quite cool and heated. The only thing down there is a hot water heater and a furnace. That's it. The rest of it's concrete floor, concrete walls. Then I got a 700-square-foot, main level. Then I got a one-bedroom on top of that, about 350 square feet. So what would I be looking at doing?
I think in the simplest world, you know, would be to put in what we call a mini-split. It's basically the most basic cold-climate heat pump that you can use, and I would be recommending putting one of those in your main living area. So it's really a space heater. So if you think of it as your wood stove or your Toyo stove, you know, it can do pretty much the same. You know, so to get heat from that main living area down into your basement would be very difficult. You know, heat doesn't really want to go that way.
it rises.
Warm air rises anyhow.
So would I have it in the basement or the main floor of the house?
Well, I'd probably put it in the main floor.
Yeah.
Because you're not so worried about temperature swings or anything down in the basement. And you may still have to have the furnace fire up when it's really cold to make sure that all of this is staying warm. But, you know, your upstairs bedroom probably is going to be fine. Might be a few degrees cooler.
As it is now.
Right.
Because
like.
I don't have any vents that go up from the.
So this is perfect. Your expectations are, you know, ideal.
What is the cost to just not installed? What is the cost of that split? Approximately.
It's a couple $1,000s. Mm-hmm. And it's probably, you know, like most in the construction world, it's another, you know, 50% labor, so another couple $1,000s.
So for $5,000 plus or minus, I'm good to go.
Right. You know, you got an electrician's got to run some 240 volt, you know, so they have to run a circuit to it.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on how clogged up your breaker panel is and stuff, it could be very simple. Or
it's been replaced since construction.
So you're pretty good. So, no, I think to find a nice place to put that indoor unit, I mean, it's just taking what's now this warm refrigerant and running it to this coil and with a fan on it and blowing warm air into your space.
Okay.
And the compressor involved.
Yeah, and so, you know, between those two coils, you have this compressor that's doing that refrigeration magic.
Mike, are there a lot of local contractors that can do something like that?
No.
but is there a local contractor that can do something?
There are, and I think that what we're hoping to come out of this week is a greater interest in heat pumps,
mm-hmm.
and so in order to make a living, you got to have people willing to pay you to put them in.
Yeah.
And there are pioneers in heat pumps. Andy Rowe has Geothermal Inc., I think, or LLC. Mm-hmm. He was installing heat pumps. But I think he opened up a bar, a brewery.
Latitude 65. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I'm going there tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
Just public, right, great, right, beer, great food by Frostbite Foods. Yeah.
I mean, I do want to throw in, installing a heat pump is no different than those guys fixing an ice maker,
yeah,
or fixing a refrigeration unit in the grocery store thing. It's all the same basic 101, you know, dealing with refrigerants and making clean, good connections. The rest of it's just work.
So tomorrow is your big housing symposium. It starts at 9, registration, coffee, networking, and ends at 6:30, and it's at the Wedgewood Resort. Is there a cost for it?
Yes, there is, if you have lunch.
Okay, yeah.
And I'd say show up. I don't know if you don't have lunch what there might be a fee. I don't know. If you go to the chamber, you have to pay
$30 registration. Includes lunch and after-hours mixer.
And the mixer, by the way, is at the Antique Auto Museum.
Yeah. Wow. And your keynote speaker is John Mickey?
Yes. And actually, there's a meet and greet for him today, this afternoon, from noon till 2, at the ASEP facility on campus. It's fourth floor in the engineering building.
Okay.
If people want to meet the guest speaker, he's talking about housing that seems to be missing from the equation. That, mm-hmm, is housing for the middle folks who are looking for something reasonable to buy. I haven't heard his presentation, but I'm looking forward to it.
So you've got a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday events with the Housing Action Symposium and then the Interior Alaska Alaska Builders Association home show. And tomorrow from 9 to 9:45, coffee, registration, networking, then opening remarks from 9:45 to 10. By Mindy O'Neill of the Cold Climate Housing Research Center. From 10 to 11:30, Health and Well-Being and Housing Panel. That's by Megan Holton of the University of Buffalo. Then you have your keynote speaker from 11:45 to 12:30, John Mickey. Then from 12:30 to 2, you have your Interior Design and Planning in Fairbanks by Corey Rigatigliano of Fast Planning. I'm on that board. Then you have from 2 through to 4, Housing and Security Panel. That's by Nadine Winter, Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services. I'm on that board. She's an incredible lady. You have closing remarks in your symposium mixer at the Antique Auto Museum from 4:30 to 6:30. And this, you know, if you walk into that location, it just, you see something new every time you visit it. So Fairbanks, if it only costs you $30 to have lunch, cocktails, beverages, food at that event, you got to go. Okay, we got less than a minute left.
Wednesday.
This is calendar events for cold climate housing. Okay. Brains, Brews, and Building, 5:30 at, you got that at the Black Spruce. Yeah, okay. Anyway, Fairbanks, tonight be at Black Spruce Brewery from 5:30 to 7:30, and we got to go. We're at the end of our show. Phil, thank you very much. Right. Mike, thank you. Thank you for bringing him in. Going to get you on more often. Really appreciate it. Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you on Friday.